go. Okay. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Tom and Curly Show. Tom taking the day off, spending some time with his 90-year-old mother. Tom's family is very, very close, and they're doing some sort of dinner and then some sort of Zoom thing, and that's what's happening with Tom. Sherry from Northern Virginia, Old Town Alexandria, right? Beautiful Old Town.
That's right.
By the way, how can you afford to live there? I know Cairo's not paying you anything. That's a tawny part of Northern Virginia.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty nice here.
Yeah.
I've had a few jobs in my life. I'm okay.
I'm comfortable.
Yeah.
You got cobblestone? Right. How close are the cobblestones to your house?
I'm 3 blocks from King Street.
So ah!
King Street is the main drag. So
show off.
Really close.
Show off. It is a fun little town. Okay, let's see. Getting to it. By the way, we spent the first hour just yakking about snow and telling stories, and we learned 3 interesting things about you. People are like, I want some news. Well, here comes the news for you. So this is day 4 of the impeachment. This is the Senate is your trial, and this is where it's all happening for Donald Trump. The Trump team didn't need 2 or 3 days. They're like, you know, we can knock this thing out in a couple videotapes. So here we go. Their point is that Donald Trump's words did not incite, that he's using words that other people have used as well, protected by the First Amendment. And then they're like, okay, if we could bring the lights down and we have our own videotape, we'd like to play a bunch of elected officials and a few people that you may know as fake journalists talking about hurting people.
I just don't even...
Start with Nancy Pelosi. Here goes Nancy. All right, here we go.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country. Maybe there will be.
There needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives.
You got to be ready to throw a punch. You have to be ready to throw a punch.
Donald Trump, I think you need to go back and punch him in the face.
That I thought he should have punched him in the face. I
feel like punching him.
I'd like to take him behind the gym if I were in high school.
If we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
That's the president taking him behind the gym.
I don't know.
No, I wish we were in high school, I could take him behind the gym.
Apparently, that's where all the beating took place, behind the gym. If I were in charge, like the vice president in charge or vice principal in charge of discipline, I would just wait back there because apparently that's where it all goes down.
We'll go and take Trump out tonight. Take him out now.
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump.
Show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Bye. There you go. By the way, congratulations to the Trump team. They at least put music underneath. I had suggested that the first day, the Democrats, they're presenting their side. They didn't have any. I thought the dramatic music really puts it all together. This is Donald Trump's lawyer, Michael Van Der Veen. Yes, he calls the whole impeachment an act of political vengeance.
The article of impeachment now before the Senate is an unjust and blatantly unconstitutional act of political vengeance. This appalling abuse of the Constitution only further divides our nation when we should be trying to come together around shared priorities. Like every other politically motivated witch hunt the left has engaged in over the past 4 years, this impeachment is completely divorced from the facts, the evidence, and the interests of the American people. The Senate should promptly and decisively vote to reject it.
Sherry, if you were in there as a senator, what would you vote?
I would vote to impeach.
You would? Based upon
what?
Yeah,
I would. Based upon the fact that 5 people are dead. I mean, this is not, yes, I understand, I get the point, which is that they're trying to show that, you know, there's a parallel here between what, you know, the type of dialogue that was going on about Trump, you know, punch him in the face, take him behind the gym, do all of that. But this was something that was so dramatic, and I really do believe that Trump could have stopped this if he wanted to. And I think that's a big point,
okay,
is that if he had at some point had said, stop this, don't do this, whatever. But there are a lot of reports, John, that, you know, he sat by and watched and he didn't do anything. And
yeah,
people were begging him to intervene and he didn't do it. And that does show a tremendous lack of remorse and a lack of judgment.
Yeah. Well, I would not vote to impeach, but I would find something else to do. You know, because it's only going to make a martyr out of him. And I'll say this. I read one piece. I haven't seen anybody else do anything in it. What was happening when the riots were going on? Where was the president? And he must have been made aware of all of it, right? So something needed to happen where he and did. This is terrible. Just pure conjecture. But hey, it's talk radio. We're not held responsible for anything we say.
Nothing.
First of all, I'll just put it this. The five people that died, one of them was a police officer. We're not sure how he died. One. The other four was a woman that was unarmed going through the window. She was shot and killed by a police officer. We still don't know his name. The other three, we don't know where they were. We know one was a heart attack, one was a stroke, and one also, the person might have been crushed. We're not sure by the crowd. But were they inside the Capitol at the time? We're not sure. It seems like none of them were. So that aside, I would say that I'm most disappointed by the president of the United States that during the time from like 1 o'clock in the morning or 1 o'clock in the afternoon when they first breached and went in there, where was he at that point? Was he watching it? He must have been watching it all on television because they were covering it like, you know, from all the way stem to stern. I don't know what he could have done other than not tweet out. Like, how could he have stopped it, right, as they're running in there and running around and taking selfies? Nancy, where are you? All that. And they're down there on the floor. I don't know. What if it was a movie? I'd always ask Tom, what would you do if Harrison Ford playing the president? What does he have to do? Fly over in a helicopter with a bullhorn and someone's holding on to his hit the back of his pants so he doesn't fall out the window and he's telling you, this is your president. I need you to break it up, everybody. He didn't do anything for that time. And even if he had just tweeted, stop this, and they didn't stop, it would at least look like he was concerned with the Capitol, the people in the Capitol, the lives that could be lost, and step up as a leader. I don't believe that you can say that the words that he was using prior to and then the speech that he was giving, because he's using the word fight, they use the word fight all the time, but I'm deeply disappointed by the actions of the President of the United States during that time from 1 o'clock to whatever, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, where he was not kind of there at the breach saying something to people, or at least, you know, going on television and saying, I denounce this and this is terrible. Was he sitting back and quietly watching? And God, I would hope not. That he would be enjoying it? God, I hope not. I haven't heard anything, and I would hate to think that that would be the case. But, wow, that would be one vindictive person. And, again, don't know where he was, don't know what they were doing behind the scenes. I would love to find out.
Right, and I agree with you. There was very little. I mean, they aren't gonna look at their phones and say, "Hey, everybody, stop! The president just, you know, tweeted something." I mean, I agree with you. That probably would not have happened. But just in terms of optics, for him to wait as long as he did and do so little, really just shows such a disregard for human life and for what was going on and everything. So, and it's interesting. I watched a lot of it yesterday. And most of the commentators that I watched said that if this vote was taken in secret, he would be impeached. That most people are afraid, the Republicans are afraid of the political blowback, so they're not going to vote. But if it was in secret, they probably all would, or a lot of them would.
Yes, I agree. The Democrats are doing this primarily to split the Trump supporters from the GOP, sort of just normal guys, members of the club that have been there for a long time. There are 34 senators, I believe, up for re-election in 2022, and I think 20 of them might be, 20, I think, are Republicans, and in that regard, you're trying to pick a few of those guys off, a few of those women off as well, so if you could somehow hang that vote on top of them when it comes out for time for a commercial, an ad against them, they might be able to do that. So generally, and this is not broken news yet, but Democrats also plan on impeaching Thomas Jefferson for owning slaves. And then also Andrew Jackson. They plan on impeaching Franklin Delano Roosevelt for putting a KKK Klansman in the Supreme Court. So just some of them. And then also Candace Owen will be impeached now by Nancy Pelosi so that she can't run in 2022. So little comedy light and a little something
just
for
an
you.
Update.
Kind of lighting something for you. Chris pulled this. This is, do you have the sound of, is this his team saying, what about the riots in Portland?
No, I didn't pull that. I didn't pull that one.
Okay. Well, you put it down on the paper here, and I don't want to say anything in front of everybody and embarrass you. No, it's okay. It's all right.
Well, I know what they said if you want to hear it, which is kind of funny. Well, it wasn't funny, but I think this part was funny. So his attorney, Michael Vanderveen, said, when violent left-wing anarchists conducted a sustained assault on a federal courthouse in Portland, Oregon, said Vanderveen, mispronouncing Oregon. I just don't know how you do that.
Oregon?
Okay. Yeah. Speaker Pelosi did not call it an insurrection. Instead, she called it the federal lawmakers protecting the building stormtroopers. That was what he said about that.
Ah, that's right. Yes. I don't know how many people that stormed the Capitol went in there and went to the big January 6th speech from President Trump. And I've seen during the summer, we watched everybody running around, smashing windows and marching and yelling and screaming, and it somehow being justified because of 400 years of oppression. And this is going to get a lot of people to write and hate me, but that's okay. I believe that lies that are told to people in order to create unrest, and whether it was the Nazis telling people a lie and then creating unrest in order to get the people to do something. I believe that a number of people in America were lied to. And I've always asked for, where is the actual evidence that George Floyd, I asked this of Dres when he filled in for Tom one day. I said, Dres, where is the evidence that George Floyd's death was because of race? Where is that evidence? We didn't have any of evidence. There is no evidence of it. There is an evidence of the fact that George Floyd was on the ground and George Floyd and the police officer was on top of him. There's evidence of that. There's evidence of the color of George Floyd's skin and the color of the police officer's skin. That's it. But you don't have any evidence that points to it. But the media took it upon themselves in order to make it a race story. And then you had thousands and thousands and thousands of people going out into the streets because America is a racist country and because this is just emblematic of how black men are treated every single day by police. And I always say, well, that's, you can make the statement, but you need to be able to present a fact. Systemic racism, where is a fact? I'll just give you the facts on the thing. I told the story the other day. I got into this argument with this woman. It's very nice. We're just having a discussion back and forth. And I asked her, how many black men unarmed have been killed by police in 2020? And she told me 12,000.
Wow.
Yeah. And I said, no, actually, it's 14, according to The Washington Post. And she goes, well, it's close. So 14,000, not 12,000, 14,000. And I said, no, it's 14. Unarmed black men killed by police, 2020, Washington Post. And she said, no, that can't be true. I said, but OK, I'm just telling you, Washington Post, there's 13,000 police districts and the stations, and they call them and they check and they keep track. And this is the thing they've been doing since 2015. So the answer is 14. So does it change your perspective of the world? So does somebody lie to somebody, or somebody that's making money off the unrest, tell everybody that things are a lot worse than they actually are? Thomas Sowell, who I have a great amount of respect for, a 90-year-old economist and thinker, brilliant guy, grows up incredibly poor in North Carolina. His mother dies. His father dies as well. At the age of 7, he moves to Harlem. He experiences racism as you can expect you'd experience in the 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s. And he always says at this point, no one living today would want to live at any other time than right now. And for people to say that America is a racist country and it's worse as it can be, you had thousands, if not millions, of people marching in the streets, told a lie. I believe a lie. So the same knuckleheads that ran into that Capitol were lied to by Donald Trump. It wasn't stolen. Nobody stole the election. Those computers weren't manipulated by Dominion, which was Hugo Chavez or somebody. I mean, that's nonsense. You were lied to. Lied to. And you stormed and you broke things. And then the other group of people out there all summer were lied to. Did the cop kill George Floyd because George Floyd was black? That's the question. And apparently people filled in, yes, he did. And this is just what happens every single day. No, that's a lie. That is not true. You don't have a fact to defend that. So both groups lied to. And for some reason, somebody wants to lie to people in order to make them do what they want them to do for some other purpose. And I don't know what that other purpose is.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up, John, because I don't know if you saw this or not, but in the Wall Street Journal, They had the morning editorial report, and this is really something for the Wall Street Journal to say this. They talk about that. They talk about the fact that Trump lied to people for so long. And it says here, the final paragraph of this opinion piece says, now his legacy will forever be forever stained by this violence and by his betrayal of his supporters in refusing to tell them the truth.
Yes.
Whatever the result of the impeachment trial, Republicans should remember the betrayal if Mr. Trump decides to run again in 2024. So it speaks to that very thing, is that when people are lied to like that, and a lie continues and continues and continues, then yes, that just whips everybody up, and that's when things go terribly, terribly wrong.
Yeah. Is that Peggy Noonan's piece? Is that her editorial?
No, this is actually from the editorial board.
Okay, because that sounds very similar to what Peggy Noonan had written as well. And again, I don't know what you intend to have happen. I understand that you want to be able to tell everybody that America is a horrible, racist country so that you can deconstruct it and reconstruct it in some other way. So there's that. And then why the president? I think he was just so shocked that he lost that for some reason he's got to think, well, it's got to be fixed. It has to be rigged somehow. There's no way I could have lost to Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And his thing was, you only wanted loyalty. So maybe there was nobody around him that would have been able to go, no, that didn't happen. People were feeding him this stuff. And then, or he was coming up with it on his own. And if you want to see people do what you want them to do, distort reality and tell them something that isn't true, and then tell them it can be fixed by doing something like breaking things or killing people to make something right again. So, all right, go ahead. Tell me what an awful person I am. You can write to me. You can text me. You can call me right now on my phone. What's your phone number, Chris Martin?
425-333-3333.
Wow, okay. That's convenient. What a good number you've got. Don't lose
number.
That. Yeah, that's convenient. All right, Tracy Taylor, look at traffic for us on a Friday. Any snowflakes out? Hey, Tom, tell your mom I said hi.
Okay, bye.
Tom out the door. It is interesting that he comes by just...
Thank you.
Just to do that one little bit. That's dedication, right, Sean?
Hey, man. Dedication, that's Tom's middle name.
Is this dedication? I thought it was Walter.
No, it's Tom Dedication Tangney.
Okay, got it. Sherry joins me because Tom's so dedicated. He's not here on Friday.
He's dedicated to his mom.
That's fine, Dandy. I got it. That's great. The fact that restaurants are losing money in the delivery wars, I imagine you 21-year-old, long-leggy blonde that you are, that you just sit around and order food in from these restaurants. Are you doing that or just for the convenience of it all?
I'm doing that a lot, yeah. Well, we like certain restaurants, but we usually only go to restaurants that provide delivery. So I am not really a big user of these apps, Uber Eats, Grubhub, DoorDash, all of these. I mean, it's huge business for them. And restaurants are getting a little bit annoyed with this because, you know, they already pay like 30% when it comes to the delivery costs that's put on top of it. But there's a lot of other things that are going on. For instance, sometimes Grubhub will post a restaurant, put a restaurant on their list that isn't signed up with them. And they figure, well, once they start getting, you know, deliveries or they start getting orders, why not, right? Mm-hmm. Like, who's not going to like that? They'll join in because they'll want to use the app.
Oh, but that just seems wrong. I can't imagine that is legal. Because the restaurant then is like, no, that's not us. We're not on there. So they're intentionally putting them on there.
Yes. Yeah, they've done that. They've done that. And a lot of laws are now coming out. There are some certain different states that are saying, you know, this is not good.
Yes.
But the biggest issue is the common practice of deliberately listing restaurants without permission and without a partnership.
Yes.
In order to appear like the app has a wider selection of restaurants for customers to choose from.
Yes. I read about this a couple months ago in California. They want to stop this from happening and they want to get ahead of time. DoorDash or whatever would have to list all of the restaurants that they have. These are the ones that we have. Lock it in. These are the ones. And they said, no, that's not fair because we're adding new ones all the time. But they want to be a proof of the ones that you're servicing right now. But as this thing occurs, as more people continue to use DoorDash, even if they start to loosen up, the governors and cities and, you know, mayors begin to loosen things up, still people continue to use the convenience of it. But what are they telling you to do? Not to keep doing it?
Well, no, I don't think that they're telling you to do that. I think that what they're saying is that you need to be, I don't think there's a call to action here in terms of the consumer. I think what they're saying is, you know, these restaurants are now saying this is, you know, this is not good. There are lawsuits and on a state and municipal level, Chicago, Massachusetts, Clark County, Nevada, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Portland, and New York City have all instituted temporary caps on food delivery fees for restaurants at about 15%. So there is stuff that is happening to try to protect some of these restaurants.
Got it. So when they would like you, the restaurants and restaurant associations are saying, if you're going to use DoorDash or one of these other ones, be aware that we're not making as much money, because a bigger chunk of it has to go towards DoorDash. So when you call up and order something like a ham and cheese sandwich, and they go and pick it up, they're whacking you on the side to have the thing delivered, but it's also costing the restaurant, so the margins are so thin that it's almost not worth it for them to make the ham and cheese sandwich and send it to you?
Well, I think it's worth it, but I think it's kind of like when you pay, like, with American Express, let's say, the merchant is charged a certain amount of money, right? Mm-hmm. So they'd rather you pay cash, right? So, I mean, they don't not want your business, but I think that they're just saying that, you know, these delivery services are ripping them off,
yeah.
And I think they want states to do something about it. I don't think they're asking the consumer to make any adjustments because they still want you to order from them.
Yeah. I got my statement, which I never normally look at, but I happened to look at it on this credit card, which I never ever use this credit card, and there was all these DoorDash charges, McDonald's and Taco Time and Taco Bell and Dairy Queen and Wendy's, and I'm like, golly, and McDonald's, charge. I'm like, somebody got my credit card somehow. I call up the credit card company and please dial 2 if you believe in fraudulent. Then you get on the one call and then the call, the person gets on there, and I'm so mad because this has happened to me a bunch of times. And at that point, I said to the lady, let me tell you something. I don't go to McDonald's, okay? I don't eat that stuff. All right? Nobody. That's a poison. And Dairy. Who goes to Dairy Queen? I'm just blasting away at these restaurants because I'm so mad that someone has stolen my card. And all I'm imagining in my head is some gross guy that somehow got it and just sitting. He's one of those people that when they eat, they take turns licking every one of their fingers in the order that the fingers appear on their hands.
Gross.
I hate that move. And I imagine them with all these like empty things half eaten, laying around, big thing of fries, and his dog eating the fries out from between his legs. And he's just flipping through the thing and stealing and using my credit card. And I'm now just painting a picture of that man to this poor lady that's probably somewhere in Missouri on the phone with me, and she's taking down. So you didn't charge the credit? You didn't do McDonald's? No! I wouldn't. What'd the person get? And she's like, they got a Big Mac. I said, no, I don't get that. They probably got like a giant Coke or something. Yeah, they got a giant Pepper. Yeah, okay. Yeah, they're really concerned about their health to get a Dr. Pepper. So I am blasting away at this person who's stolen my credit card. And then I go, yes, I am challenging all of these charges. She goes, there was $263 of charges. I said, oh, my God. And the guy lived so long, his heart must give out. Blah. Right. And then about 3 days later, I see Rye sitting there with a big bag. My son, who's 18, big bag of McDonald's in front of him, eating fries, like a big handful of fries, while staring cow-eyed at the TV. I'm like, hey, Rye, how'd you get to McDonald's? He's like, oh, I'm sorry. Remember like a year ago you gave me your credit card? I was like, oh, no!
He's the shirtless monster.
He's the guy with the dog eating french fries out between his legs, licking every one of his fingers in the order of the fingers appear on his hand. I'm like, no! My own child! He's like, God, Dad, you're really overreacting. I said, no, you don't understand, Rye. I painted a picture of you, and I deny you.
Is that his future? We hope.
Oh, my God. And then I call the credit card company. Yeah, I found the scoundrel. Yeah, Don't worry. I got this under control.
I took him behind the gym.
Yeah.
I know what to do.
But it's crowded back there. Joe Biden is back there beating people up.
Right.
Joe Biden's like, all right, get in line. Beat you up one at a time here behind the gym. All right. Behind the gym at St. Aloysius, there was a dumpster and a fire escape. And I remember one day our band finished playing. It was the spring concert. And Mark Rosati was in front of me. And his mother yelled out, careful on those stairs. They're slippery. And he had his trombone out. And he said, I'm as nimble as a mountain goat. I still remember that. And the reason it, I remembered is because he slipped and fell all the way back down, holding on to his trombone while it smashed on every single one of the metal steps all the way to the bottom. I'm as nimble as a mountain goat. I was like, I guess.
Mountain goat.
As a mountain goat.
What teenager says that?
Mark Rosati.
Okay. Well, him.
I'm as nimble as a mountain goat that plays the trombone. All right, Tracy Taylor, top that.
The human body generates more bioelectricity than a 120-volt battery and over 25,000 BTUs of body heat. Combined with a form of fusion, the machines had found all the energy they would ever need.
Wow. All right, general knowledge question. What movie, Sean, don't answer. What movie is that from? And Chris, you can't answer either, so it's just going to you, Sherry. For $25, what movie was that?
I'm going to say, what is The Matrix?
Sean?
Correct.
And there's the cat. And the cat lets everybody know that Sherry got the answer right. Just happened to be the next sound effect underneath the bell ring. So there we go. All right. Yes, apparently there is something that's getting us closer and closer to The Matrix, which means everybody will be friends with. Is it Keanu Reeves? Is that was in that movie? Yeah.
Yeah, Keanu yes. Reeves.
Well, you say no that way. Like, yeah, yeah.
No, Keanu Reeves.
No,
is,
no,
can only be,
I heard
can
it.
Only be, can only be followed with, no. With the Island of Duh. I'm sorry. Keanu Reeves. Cute, but duh. Not really right.
Sean, may I just interject here at this point?
Yes, I'll give you the floor.
At what point do I need to come in and tell a story about sitting next to him flying to France?
Oh.
I mean, just generally, just let me know at any point. Well, Sherry's taking apart Keanu Reeves.
Well, I kind of want to hear that.
No. Go ahead, tell your story about how the watch is powered by your body.
Okay, so the researchers at the University of Colorado Boulder, they've created an environmentally friendly gadget that harvests body heat and converts it into energy. So what you do is you wear this stretchy kind of ring or bracelet or whatever, and it has these chips, these thermoelectric chips in them that convert into electrical energy. So what they're saying is this could potentially replace batteries in the future and solve some pollution problems and electronic waste. And so everybody wins, and it's a great thing, but I'd much rather hear about you on a plane with Keanu Reeves. So that's that.
And does it work on everybody's body or just people that tend to just run a little hot?
I think everybody can be a candidate. Okay. I don't think you have to be particularly hot.
Got it. Good. Okay, here's my Keanu Reeves story.
Okay, good.
First of all, I do agree that he is a little dull in that his fake name, because the flight attendant walks in and goes, excuse me, Mr. Smith, would you care for another rum and Coke? He's like, no, I'm good. And I looked at him, and he's sitting beside me, and I'm thinking, Mr. Smith? That's Keanu Reeves. I mean, if you're Keanu Reeves, can't you come up with a better fake name than Smith?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I thought maybe he thought it was ironic. But I ended up having a really great conversation with him. His sister is the vice president of EA Sports. Isn't that crazy? She and he were flying to Paris or to Nice for something. And he was sitting next to me flying from Paris to Nice right beside me. And we talked about EA Sports. We talked about triathlons. And I never brought up acting and I never mentioned that I knew who he was. I just simply just let Keanu Reeves be Keanu Reeves. And I thought he was going to be kind of like, duh. But actually he was quoting some from some books. And I was like, well, check this out. I mean, he's just sort of showing off. And I goes, but I mean, you know, you've read Kalan, or was that guy, was it Illy? Who's the famous poet that everybody has on their? It's like a 80s poet, Elon Braun. Come on, Chris Martin, you're lost. You have nothing going on in your life. What's his name?
I don't know.
He's a poet.
I don't know my 80s poets.
He's a poet, and everyone in Keanu Reeves quotes from him. He's anybody. Yeah, where's that cat? Somebody's gonna write.
I'm surprised I got The Matrix. I can't figure out a poet.
It'll come to me. Anyway, he was quoting from that. And I was like, well, he's pretty impressive. So there you go. There's my Keanu Reeves story. Not that good. I would have rather heard about a watch that runs off your body heat.
You got both. What more do you want? Right.
Yeah, stop it complaining. Sit down. All right, Tracy Taylor, how bad is it out right now? Are people slipping and sliding? Are they steering in direction of the skid? Are they pumping?